Welcome to the Pre-Post Film Review. I'm John Asquith.
And I'm Matt Stevenson. If this is the first time listening to Pre-Post, the way things work is that we will chat about the trailer for a film. So that'll be the first part you hear. That part of the podcast is going to be completely spoiler-free. We haven't seen the film, so feel free to listen to that before you've seen the film yourself. But the second part of the podcast, we're going to do a full review, which is going to be chock full of spoilers right from the get-go. So make sure you've seen the film before you tune in to that section of the episode. So this episode, we're going to be chatting about the new Star Wars story, Solo.
You're after something. Is it revenge? Money? Or is it something else?
You look good. A little rough around the edges, but good.
Heard about a job. Big shot gangster putting together crew.
I'm a driver, and I'm a flyer. I waited a long time for a shot like this.
What do you think? Well, what do you know?
You got a line on a ship?
Yeah, I know a guy. He's the best smuggler around.
I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Okay, John, so we are 2 months after the last Star Wars film, and we've just seen the trailer for the new Star Wars film that is coming out in like 2 months. So, Solo.
Very strange.
A Star Wars story. Mm-hmm. The first teaser has just dropped. Well, there was a Super Bowl ad and then the teaser the next day, I think. And we've just watched it. So I'm very curious to hear your impressions of this brand new trailer. What do you think?
I'm in two minds, but mostly one mind with a tiny other mind next to it. And the tiny mind is... I like a lot of the cinematography in this, and the design, I think, looks good. It doesn't look how I was expecting it to look, and I'm not sure whether I like that or not yet. But there's some very cool visuals in this, and even though there's lots of CGI, it still feels kind of tactile and grungy and dirty, and I like that. And just interesting... framing of some shots as well that we haven't really seen in Star Wars. I have a specific example, but just I don't know, like certain close-ups and certain wide shots just look kind of different than what we've seen. I think all the movies so far, I mean, Rogue One experimented with handheld kind of war cinematography, and this doesn't feel like that, but it also doesn't feel like the classic kind of more traditional Star Wars cinematography. Anyway, that's the small mind. That's the small bit of positivity, to be honest. I think these trailers are weird. I think, well, this trailer, the teaser Super Bowl thing and the full-length one, I think... they don't tell me what the tone is of the movie. Is it a lighthearted adventure with Han Solo, which I was expecting? Is it serious? Is it a heist movie? Kind of seems like it's going to be a heist, or some ragtag group coming together, which we kind of got in Rogue One as well. So already it feels a bit samey. They seem to be either burying or... maybe positively keeping it a surprise, Alden Ehrenreich's performance as Han Solo. It's there's like two lines in the movie and we hardly see him at all. And I don't know what they're trying to do there. Are they worried that people will say, well, that's not Harrison Ford, who is so iconically tied? And I think most of Han Solo's mannerisms and nature, like it's not written.
Yeah.
It's Harrison Ford. It naturally comes from him. It's why Indiana Jones really kind of feels like the same character in a different time and place. I'm not sure what the idea is there, but the result is that I'm kind of left shrugging my shoulders, like I don't know what to make of this performance and this character, and if I'm going to like it or not. And it's very strange to me that they didn't show more wisecracking or kind of like smuggler, almost like swash. Oh my God, I can't speak. Swashbuckling adventure. It's just like things speeding by and him saying he wants to be a great pilot, which is almost like Jyn Erso kind of dour talk about how, you know, no one's going to stop him and all this stuff. So I'm very confused. It's strange that it's coming out so soon, and there's been troubled production on it. We know that as well. So I don't, other than that, it looks like actually looks good to my eyes, you know, visually. I really don't know what to make it. I don't think it's going to be terrible. I'm sure like they've managed to save it and it's probably good. But if we're just judging on the trailer, I don't have high hopes. What do you think, Matt? Am I too negative?
I think I kind of agree. I agree with everything you just said, but I think perhaps I watched the trailer. I was so negative on the project to begin with that I was ready to hate this thing. And I think I was just more than anything very pleasantly surprised by the look of it. Like you said, like it just looks cool. Like it looks different. There's Star Wars-y stuff that looks like it fits within the world, but I hadn't seen before, which is cool. And I think it's given me hope that even if it's not very good, it'll look good. Kind of like Rogue One. Like, you know, I think that's kind of where I've come down on that. I don't really like it as a film very much. I mean, the last act certainly picks up, but visually it's incredible. So I kind of have hope that this will probably be in the same camp. But having said all that, I think your criticisms are bang on. It is so weird that we don't see any of Han Solo. It's his fucking film. Like, that is massive warning bells for me. I completely agree. What the fuck is the tone of this film? Like, this, I was expecting, you know, it was meant to be a comedy with, you know, Lord and Miller doing it. I mean, obviously they were fired, so they didn't want it to be that much of a comedy, but you know,
still lighthearted.
Exactly. This looks as dour, if not more dour, than Rogue One. Like, it feels like these Star Wars stories are like going for this dark, mature tone, which isn't necessarily bad, but it feels odd, especially given everything that we've heard about this film and what it was meant to be. Very strange. Also, the casting, I like Donald Glover. I think that's good casting, but Emilia Clarke, I mean, I like her in Game of Thrones, but I'm yet to be convinced that she's actually very good. I mean, that sounds a bit harsh, but I think there's a certain strength to that character in Game of Thrones that she sort of rides through the whole series. But yeah, anything else I've seen her in, like that new Terminator film was garbage, and I don't know. I feel like she's yet to convince me that she's actually very good. So I'm a little bit worried there. I don't know. I mean, I'm still very, very worried about this film, but I guess it's the trailer has made me confident that it's at least going to look good and feel a bit different, I suppose, as well. Like, it has this weird, I mean, it is tonally weird. There's a weird, like, browns and gold palette, which I totally wasn't expecting. But
yeah,
at least it's different. Like, we haven't seen that in the Star Wars universe really before. But it's so weird. It's so weird that there's not much humor. Like, it tries to end on a gag with the, like, I thought we were out of, I thought that was going to be dangerous or something, and then the weird tentacle monster comes out. Like, but that doesn't really land. Like, it's not very funny. I don't know.
It's so odd to me that they weren't playing up the wisecracking angle, because that's what everyone, like, even if this movie is like subverting our expectations or something, it doesn't feel like that. You know what I mean? It feels like a mess. And this trailer at least feels like they didn't know what to do. And as you said, feels like Rogue One, like saying that he's going to be the greatest pilot ever and showing that he's a rebel. And like, I haven't compared the trailers, but I feel like they're almost,
that's a good point, actually. Yeah. Like Jyn Erso's little speech about, what is it, that line? Like, I'm a rebel, I rebel, or whatever it was. That I think they cut that out of the film. Yeah. And so, and I like, it is bizarre to me that they don't just push this. Like, it seems nuts so to begin with why they're releasing it so fucking close after The Last Jedi, and then there's going to be like over a year and a half until the next. Like, that spacing doesn't make sense to me. Plus, if you're having all this post trouble, like, just push it to December. Just give them another 6 months.
Exactly.
8 months.
And we're, sort of, we're kind of conditioned now for December to be Star Wars month. And I like that. It's like a little Christmas present.
Exactly. Totally agree.
It feels strange. It makes it feel like a B movie in this franchise or something. It's odd.
Yeah. Curious. I mean, in a weird way, I'm kind of more excited now because it's so weird. Like, I don't know what to expect. I'm so curious as to, like, what this is going to be. It's such a, like, wild card.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very curious. And I'll be there. I don't know if I'll do midnight things. I don't think I'd go if they did. But I'll be there, you know, day one or day two.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just very curious to see. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I hope it's fun. I want it to be fun. And I don't know if this trailer really shows us that.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be with the amount they filmed with Lord and Miller, I think.
But haven't they basically reshot the whole film? Isn't that what the rumors are? Like the reshoot schedule was like longer than the shoot schedule that Lord and Miller had.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure they've wiped the slate.
But then also like Ron Howard is, he has a good sense of character, I think. That is one of his strengths, and balancing drama and humour. And
well, I mean, that's a good point. You know, like, I think Ron Howard is quite good. I've liked most of the stuff. I don't think I've loved many of his films, but he's certainly not a bad director.
No, yeah. That's what's baffling about this. Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. I think it's cool that... And it's not in this trailer, but John Williams is writing the main theme, just the main theme for Han Solo, which is kind of cool. Like, he gets his own heroic theme, which he's actually never had in terms of the Star Wars score. So I'm looking forward to hearing that, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, just very curious. I don't know. I'm not expecting a disaster, but it's just not the trailer that I was expecting. You know, I thought it would be more like Indiana Jones or something. I thought maybe we'd even be at a bar or something, and, you know, it pans across and then tilts up to his face. And I know that's kind of fanboyish, but this is a fanboy kind of film. I mean, I don't know. Well, yeah. Curious, but not high hopes, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the best one around.
Be interesting.
I heard a story about you. I was wondering.
We don't have to wait long either.
It's true.
Yeah.
L3!
Let go of the mean man's face.
Who are these guys?
If you come with us, you're in this life for good.
You might wanna buckle up, baby.
Here they come!
Let me give you some advice. Assume everyone will betray you. And you will never be disappointed.
I got a really good feeling about this.
Since when do you know how to fly?
190 years old? You look great.
Push it.
All right, we've just seen Solo, A Star Wars Story, the latest Star Wars spin-off from Lucasfilm and Disney, Matt. And put our blasters ready. We've been given a surname, and we're ready to chat about this little film. I think we were pretty... I don't know about if worried's the right word, but we were a little skeptical, I'll say, coming into this one. We both agreed that it visually looked interesting, but the trailer was sort of strangely edited in terms of tone. We couldn't really tell how funny this was going to be, how fun, and what Alden Ehrenreich's performance was going to be like. Almost seemed like maybe they were hiding it. So yeah, we were pretty skeptical going into this. I'm curious what your general thoughts are about it.
Yeah, well, I think as you've just heard in our trailer impressions, initially the idea of the project I hated and wasn't interested in at all. And after seeing the trailer, I got a little bit more excited. I probably wouldn't say I was amped, but you know, the visuals looked different. I thought it might be at least a fun watch, kind of in the vein of Rogue One. And like, when I first sat down to watch this, I think I was really on board to begin with, actually. Like, the opening kind of chase sequence and stuff was fun. But after that, as soon as people started talking, that it started to lose me. And interestingly, I think the thing in the trailer that I was most excited about, in the sense of the unique visual style and that sort of gold and brown palette, was the thing I ended up disliking the most about this film. I got so bored of that fucking sepia color palette that by the end I was just dying for some color. And I think there's like one moment where Emilia Clarke walks out in a red cape and it's like such like a breath of fresh air. Could you see some freaking red? It was just driving me nuts. So I guess like you could probably tell overall I really didn't like this movie, John. I think it's my least favorite of the recent bunch. I don't know how I rate it in terms of the prequels. I'd need to rewatch the prequels, but I really didn't like this film. I think I didn't hate everything about it. It has some cool parts. Like I actually liked the train heist sequence. I thought that was pretty cool. And, just the sort of the physics and the way the train moved was sort of unique and visually fun. And they had some fun moments on there, visually quite striking. And I quite liked Donald Glover's Lando performance. I mean, weirdly, it feels like he doesn't really have that much to do, but I think he's just so charismatic as an actor. I just like seeing him on screen. Yeah. But yeah, it's so chock full of pointless, dumb callbacks to, like your reference at the beginning, like how he got his fucking name Solo. Like, I just wanted to punch someone when that happened. And like, that's only the beginning. It's like every 5 minutes there's like a pointless, dumb, you know, or he'll shoot first, or there's the dumb line where he's like, Lando's like, oh, I hate you, I know. Like, the callback to the I love you. Like, it just makes my blood boil. And I mean, I guess we'll get to this by the end, but the quote-unquote surprise cameo at the end made me... I honestly, John, I wanted to fucking walk out of the cinema. I was so angry. I was furious. It is just like... I thought the Darth Vader cameo in Rogue One was bad. At least that looked good and it was like tonally... Like, it was an exciting... I mean, it was fan service bullshit, but it was an exciting, well-shot scene. This was just the worst kind of wankery fan service bullcrap. Oh, made me so angry. Anyway, I'm getting on a little bit of a rant. I didn't like this, John. I didn't, as you can probably tell. But yeah, I guess we'll go through some more specific things, because I didn't hate everything, and there were some things I thought were quite good. But I'm curious to hear what your opinion of Solo is. Did you like it a bit more than me? Are you a bit more positive?
I wish I had a completely different viewpoint to make things interesting. I think broadly, we're just like Chan.
Chan and Huey.
Chan and Huey. We're just like Chewie and Han, Matt, because we're good co-pilots, you know? We're on the same wavelength. I think, you know, we'd be able to captain the Millennium Falcon pretty well. I broadly agree with you, and I didn't like this film much at all. I think there are parts where I had fun with it. Yeah. I think, same as you said, that the train heist was fun. There were certain character moments, interactions that were funny that made me laugh a little bit. But overall, yeah, I was pretty disappointed. And I even with the lowered expectations that I had. I was not expecting it to be so poorly written in terms of all that prequely setting up things, callbacks.
Surprising,
sort of stuff.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like up until now, even though we had some problems with Rogue One, they've sort of been pretty good with the brand, with the films, of keeping some sort of level of, I don't know, quality control, I guess you'd call it. And this just feels like it's on a completely different level than what they've made so far. Feels, yeah, bit like a B-grade spin-off, like a fan film, a really well-made fan film. And I may have said that in the Rogue One review, but I take it back for that one now and apply it to this one. Like, this actually made me like Rogue One more, because at least, yes, that had callback stuff in it and a pretty fan servicey ending, but it also had a lot of new things and, you know, was genuinely sort of trying to push in sort of new areas, even though it was very firmly wedged in between episode 3 and 4, and suffered from being wedged there. But yeah, the surname, the horrible scene where like he explains to Chewbacca that he's going to give him a nickname because that's just what you do. You know, that's totally natural. You know, the surname was like a big red flag. But then when he said to Chewie, like, what, Chewbacca? I'm not saying that every time or whatever it was. That's when it really clicked it over for me. I was like, you know, I'm just going to sit back and just try to enjoy this, but I'm not investing anything in it now because it's just silly. Like, no one talks like that. It's just bad. Even if you're making a fun fan movie, like, that's just poor writing, I think.
Yeah.
And it's so weird that Lawrence Kasdan is the writer on this, along with his son, I think. You know, he wrote Empire and Force Awakens, and I don't know if he worked on Return of the Jedi or not, but I mean, maybe it's just that thing of like he's kind of a bit just of an old man now and doesn't quite get it, or like I'm not sure. I was expecting more, even with the low expectations, and so that's disappointing. I think the performance from Alden Ehrenreich is pretty good. I think it's not great, but it's such a hard role to play, you know, as we said in our trailer thoughts, like it's so tied to Harrison Ford. Like that's just like, it just is Harrison Ford. He's not really even playing a character, you know, he just sort of has that charisma and swagger and stuff. And so I think he does an admirable job in this, but I never felt like I was watching Han. I felt like, you know, even if I sort of tried to trick my brain into it, like, no, this is him when he's younger and he just looks a bit different or whatever. Like, I still couldn't, I never was fully in it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously when he's your main character, that is a bit of a problem. Yeah, I don't know. We could go into more spoilers, I guess. Broadly, I agree with you. Also, I was disappointed that the theme for Han that John Williams wrote, I couldn't tell you what it was. There was there was nothing really that stood out to me, which was disappointing as well. I was hoping for like a memorable, like Indiana Jones-esque, like hummable kind of theme because it suits that character, and we didn't really get that, so that was a shame.
Yeah, in fact, the music in general I kind of actively disliked, I feel like.
Yes.
Other than there was a sort of like a almost like a tribally theme for when the rebel that sort of appears when they appear on the train, and then a bit later on I liked that theme or that part of the score, but everything else, I don't know, it just rubbed me up the wrong way. It doesn't usually happen to me. I'm usually oblivious to the score, but this stood out as me not liking it, which is odd.
Yeah, it's strange because John Powell did the score, and he did How to Train Your Dragon 1 and 2.
Oh,
and that's like
great.
Some of the best music around. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of callbacks in this too, I notice. Score callbacks. And that just really bothers me as well. It goes back to this thing, which we've talked about a bit with franchise movies, and I think we talked about it a lot with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, that, and it's probably wishful thinking, but if any movie you make, even if it's in a well-established franchise, you should make it like someone is watching it for the first time, and it is in that world for the first time. So some callbacks are okay and some references are fine, but when we see the Millennium Falcon and like a bit of the Star Wars score plays, if like that, and I know like a bajillion people have seen Star Wars, so this is a stupid point to make, but it doesn't, in just this film, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
Oh,
there's just this little random bit of score for like that bit there. It's the same with the terrible Darth Maul cameo. There was like, when it zoomed into his face, there was a little bit of like from episode one, and like, because we know that you know, there's too much of that. When they were going through kind of the asteroid field area, which felt a bit too similar to Empire, there was bits of score lifted almost directly from that section of Empire as well, like another callback. And I guess that just ties in with the writing, you know, as we're saying, like it's got too much of that stuff, and the score was mirroring it, which is it's just lazy, I think.
I totally agree. I would actually, as much as I just bagged all the callbacks, I think the one that fits that kind of works is the Han shooting first, because there's no context to that, and it makes sense that he's learned that as a character to not trust anyone at that point, and that it's also a callback to the bar scene with Greedo or whatever. So that I think that's an example of it where, even though I kind of disliked it, I think at that point, just because I was so fucking over all the callbacks, but at least that works. Speaking of the callbacks, one thing that I think really doesn't work is the bizarre over-focus on the dice, which I feel like it was just to set up fucking Last Jedi and make sense of why Luke hands them to Leia. Because... Yeah. Like, I expected them to be a story point or something. Like, they're never mentioned, but they're, like, shot in, like, extreme close-up, like, 10 times throughout the film. Like, we spend, like, minutes staring at these dice. You'd be like, what the fuck are these dice, if you didn't know anything about it? It's so weird. Like, I thought they were going to be part of his, like, card game or some, like, some plot point or something important to him, but they're just, like, they're just nothing.
Well, that would require... you know, an extra draft of the script.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be fucked. So I don't want to be so cynical, but honestly, it does feel like that. Like, yeah, and I completely agree. I think even in Last Jedi, and like in general, this obsession that the new movies have with like Han's dice, they've never worked. I think they're sort of clumsy, and they've introduced at weird times. And the casual moviegoer, I think, just doesn't know what they are or can connect with them, and so as you say, I guess they've like put them in here to try and tie it all together, but he just carries them and then gets them at the end, and that's kind of it. There's not much more to it. Doesn't even represent really his youth or Emilia Clarke's character or anything like that. So yeah, strange.
Very weird. Okay, well, before we get too caught up in the negatives, maybe we should briefly go through any other positives that you had. Was there anything in particular that you liked?
Well, I think there were a lot of physical practical effects and puppets and things, so I like that they're still continuing that trend. I especially really liked could have spent more time with that worm woman at the start.
It's great. Right?
I thought
so
that was
weird.
Such a cool, yeah, really, really weird. And I was still, you know, kind of into the movie at that point, and I liked that it just threw us into this strange, you know, quite creepy setting with this worm lady, and the fact that, you know, he breaks the window or whatever, and she obviously has to stay in the dark. Like, you almost wish they'd spent more time there with him before they break out, so we could see a bit more of that sort of strange world. So I liked that. I thought, what else did I like?
The main thing for me, I agree, was the practical effects. Like, as much as I dislike the the color palette and the tone, the actual physical, like there was lots of cool just like masks and stuff, like the design of all that was really cool. Everything felt really practical. Actually, quite like the war stuff, or at least when we were first dropped in to that battle on whatever the planet was, like being on the ground in the midst of a like chaotic war in the Star Wars universe was something we kind of haven't seen before. And it was, I mean, even that was super fucking muddy and brown, but it felt very practical and very cool. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't have much else. The train sequence was good. Actually, I guess I kind of liked some of the sassy robots. I mean, in general, I didn't think she was that funny, but there was I kind of appreciated that it was touching on kind of weird ideas of diversity and equality, like her little quip about like Lando's like, oh, what do you want, and she was like, oh, equal rights or something like that. Like that was one of the few times in the movie that I actually laughed. I mean, it was, I don't know, maybe a bit ham-fisted, but I kind of liked it, you know, the way she like liberated all the robots. So that was kind of a funny moment. I don't know, I like that they at least touched on something, because the film, unlike The Last Jedi, is like fucking vacuous. It's about nothing, right? Like, was the tiny little bit that kind of had some sort of like moral fiber to it, even if it wasn't a big part of the film at all.
That's true. And so I would broadly agree with you. I think overall I disliked that character though. I don't know. It's just, she suffered from the same thing as the droid in Rogue One, which I thought was fine, but I don't really want every new movie to have like a wisecracking
droid. Yeah.
A sassy droid with kind of a modern sense of humor. It just didn't fit for me. And there's a scene where she's like kind of hints that Han wants to like have sex with her and stuff.
She's in love with Lando or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. None of that really worked for me. And then so when she got killed off, I was actually kind of relieved that she wasn't going to be there for the rest of the movie, like with her little smart comments and stuff.
I just found her annoying.
I agree that some of the stuff she was saying was interesting, and but it just worries me that as we go on that we're going to get more of this sort of thing, and this doesn't sit well with me. It's like she might as well have like talked about Twitter or something like that. You know, it just felt too modern for me. But I'm an old man, so.
Speaking of her death, that just reminds me, I'm jumping back to the negatives a little bit, but the way, I mean, I agree, like, they played her death as, like, quite an emotional moment for Lando. It didn't work. I was not emotionally involved at all. But I just feel like that's such a weird choice, given that the when Woody Harrelson's wife dies, he has, like, no emotional response to that moment. He's just like, fine. That was so weird. Like, they had, like, a great opportunity to, like, give the film a little bit of heart and make you care about Woody, and it was just, like, nothing. Literally nothing. Like, stone cold, oh, let's just talk to Han about what's going to happen with the mission or whatever. Like, bizarre. I don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah, that all of that was a bit weird. Like, even her having to kill herself, I thought, was a bit over the top. Like, she seemed to not have any other choice, I guess. But, you know, they're in ships and like, she could jump down into the snow and slide down. I don't know. It felt that... Like, that's a big decision to kill yourself. And so, you know, I just felt like she made it very quickly. I suppose, she was in a dire situation and had no other choice. But just, and was it, is it worth it? Like, just didn't sit well.
It's just such a strange moment, right? Because his wife or girlfriend or whatever has literally just killed herself for this mission. And then Han fucks it up by not doing what potentially save them, but whatever. He goes against Woody Harrelson's orders and they lose the whole shipment. Like, and then they're at the graves. Like, it just doesn't make sense, the reaction. Like, he should be upset and he should be pissed off at Han about, like, because of him, his wife's dead for nothing. You know what I mean? And then he could make some, like, emotional moment out of that and complicate their relationship. But it's just...
Yeah.
It just... Exactly. It's so strange, that the decision. That, I don't know. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of weird stuff like that in it. It just doesn't add up to much.
Mm.
As you said, there's nothing to it, really. And it is interesting that this has come straight after The Last Jedi, which, you know, it can be criticized for having too much in it, and it's trying to say too much and do too many new things, and this is just the complete opposite. And, you know, that it's fine. Like, they don't all have to be like that, but I'd still prefer, like, some level of quality, yeah, you know, rather than just, like, fan service, that's it.
It's kind of... It's just disappointing, I think, because Ryan, it felt like they'd really learnt from Force Awakens being too fan servicey, and even Rogue One a little bit, and that looked like they were actively trying to get people involved. Well, after The Last Jedi, it seemed like they were actively trying to push back against that, and were very open to, like, just busting the doors off the franchise and letting people do creative, wild things. And then the next film they followed up with is, like, the worst example of fucking fanboy crap.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a 180.
And has that horrible cameo in it, which makes no sense, and is almost, you know, so Marvel-esque in it. It's setting up of a sequel. I mean, that whole ending where, you know, it's tacked in that they've left the door open for more stuff to happen and for... Emilia Clarke's character to go off and be the villain in the next one or whatever bullshit they're trying to set up. That was, I mean, I was already out of the movie, but that, as you said, like, I was fuming in my seat.
Physically angry, yeah. It's just like, I mean, on a personal level, it annoys me because it's like, re-canonizing the prequels that we're all trying to forget about. You know, like, why bring it back so hard? But also, just like, I know, okay, whatever it is, the fucking cartoon or whatever brought him back, but it's like, he fucking died in episode, he got cut in half. I've never seen these cartoons. I mean, I knew it just because of my Star Warsy nerd knowledge, but I've never seen them. Like, to normal people, when he rocks up, it makes no fucking sense. You're like, it just seems stupid. And then, like, I don't know. It's just, it's the worst kind of cameo.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Because even, like, for a second, I was thinking, like, oh, is this... Where is this in the timeline? Oh, wait, no, the Empire exists, so it's definitely post episode 3, which means he should be dead. And then, but I also knew that he, you know, he came back to life, but I wasn't sure whether they were referencing that, you know. And again, it comes back to what I was saying before about, like, your movie exists in its own, should exist in its own little nice container. And, like, who is this guy? You know, if you've seen episode 1, he's dead. If you haven't seen episode 1, then just some weird red man. I mean, I guess in that sense, it actually makes more sense. But, it's just... I really, really hated that scene. And then, to top it off, he, for no reason, grabs his lightsaber turns it on. Yeah.
Dickhead.
That was so bad.
Like, what a fuckwit.
Why? Like, just so we know it's Darth Maul, basically. Because it's the double-sided one. Like, who does that? It's just, oh, man.
Yeah, it's really pathetic. It's so bad.
And it worries me. It really worries me that they're... I know that the Solo isn't performing quite as well at the box office, but it will perform well enough, maybe, that they'll do another one. Seemingly, they want to do more Solo movies, which it just baffles me. This having seen this now, does it need to exist? No, the answer is no. This added nothing to the series, I would say, and actively
it's detrimental sort of ruined a few things. Definitely,
like bad prequels or most prequels do. I'd even say, like, episode 1, 2, and 3 have many faults, many bad things about them, but there was lots of fan service in them, but they were occasionally trying new things, even if it was just visually. And this is afraid, really, even to do that. And so I'd rank it probably underneath something like I don't know. I think maybe Phantom Menace is the best of the prequels.
Mm.
And so I'd potentially put this underneath that even. I think it's really not very good and shouldn't have been made.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So what do you think about the whole Lord and Miller, the original directors being fired and Ron Howard coming in? They've, you know, it seems that they were not sticking to this script because maybe they could tell that if they just did what was on the page, it wouldn't be very good. I'm so curious to know what their vision was and how different it, because it's the same script. Like, this is what puzzles me, that as much as I like those guys and have faith in them, they were dealing with this same script with him getting his last name.
There was no rewrites or anything? Like, I don't
really. I don't think so.
That's really interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
could you feel anything like any of their
uniqueness in it? Like, I don't,
me neither, really.
No gags that I thought, oh, that must have been from them. That I agree. Like, if this was the script that they were making, it makes no sense to me. I mean, I guess it makes sense that they left because it would, like you said, if they were trying to push back, presumably, against this, the, like, boring nature of the script. I mean, maybe they were just going to do more, like, fun visual stuff, and maybe it wouldn't be as, like, the tone wouldn't have been as dour, and some of the cheesy, like, the getting the solo name would have been played as a laugh instead of a, like, serious callback or something like that. Maybe it was a bit of a piss take. I don't know. But it feels really strange. I mean, I would kill to see their version of this movie. Like, at least it would be entertaining, I feel like. Like, I was so bored by this film by the end. It was just, like, relentless. I mean, it seemed like it was just one action set piece after the other, like, crammed together. But they weren't exciting. I was just so bored. I was so bored by the end. And I think at least Lord and Miller, given their track record, I mean, it's, you know, obviously you can't
surely
tell
what the film would have been
like. Exactly. Better. Like, there would have been some inventiveness. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
It is bizarre. I mean, it would be amazing. How much did they get through, like, 3/4 of the movie or so they shot, right?
I don't know, something like that.
Something like that, maybe half, which means, like, you could steal that footage
and
assemble their edits,
cut. Yeah.
Most of it. So someone should do that. It's just bizarre. I mean, they were pushing back, I think, and so, yeah, I think they were probably wanting to change things or, as you say, change the tone, and I think that really annoyed
Kasdan.
You know, some of the higher-ups at Lucasfilm. Yeah, Kasdan in particular. So, yeah, it's a shame.
The only other good thing that I had on my little list was I quite liked Paul Bettany's, the design of his villain, like, with those scars all over his face that seemed to, like, get red when he got angry. Like, they seemed to, like, brighten subtly or something.
Oh,
like, it was cool.
I
thought that was
that.
Cool.
That's,
I mean, unless
cool.
I was imagining it, but I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, he does a good job as, like, a smarmy, you know, gangster, I guess. Was, you know, easily hateable villain.
Yeah. I did think, what did you think about the sort of, like, third act, multiple twists? There was, like, one after the other for about five of them or something. Like,
yeah,
right,
it was a lot.
End.
Yeah.
Did any of those work for you?
I suppose they were okay. I mean, it was kind of, like, heisty, like, you know, noir-ish kind of stuff. Whatever the first one was, where Emilia Clarke was bad and then good and then bad. It's somewhere in the middle there. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But then it kept going.
Like,
and
Woody
Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, comes in and And was all... I was thinking in that moment too, like, this is one of those movie things where, like, was Woody Harrelson waiting at the door to be called in? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's like, ooh, there's someone else here. And I just like imagining, like, was he just listening like this at the door? Like, okay, now's my cue to walk in and reveal myself. It's just kind of like, you know, pretty cheesy stuff.
I think it was quite strange when the leader of, like, the little rebellion group, like, she takes her mask off and it's played as, like, a big, like, surprise reveal. Yeah, and I was just like, who the fuck is that? Like, it's a young girl, I guess. That was surprising, but, like,
I was thinking, like, oh, is this someone from the cartoon, like, from Rebels or something?
Oh, yeah, maybe
it is. I don't think it is. I didn't like that either. I didn't like that they had to kind of shoehorn in an early version of the Rebellion and all that sort of stuff in there. Like, why can't we just stay away from that sort of thing? And again, it kind of taints him already having some loose connection.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, silly.
Yeah, it is. It's really silly. Like, the film should have been about Han Solo becoming heartless, right? Like, learning not to trust anyone. But it kind of it wants to do the opposite, and it's kind of about him learning to help the rebellion, which makes no sense, given that was, like, his arc in the original. Like, we've already had that, and in time, why is he having this before if then he has it again later on? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Mm. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, and but even, like, winning the Falcon in the game of Sabacc or whatever playing wasn't exciting. And
I know, what,
like,
a disappointment. Not that we ever wanted to fucking see how that happened, but, like, it's just pointless. It was just pointless.
Yeah, we didn't need to see that. It didn't feel
no
like
suspense. Exactly.
It's the same with him meeting Chewie in the prison or whatever. Like, you know, it's fine, but I wish I hadn't seen it. Like, I prefer that they just became friends somehow, and I don't need to know that. You don't need to know everything about everyone.
So I guess my biggest takeaway from this, John, is that I am so excited for Rian Johnson's trilogy. Like, he is, like, the bastion of hope now.
I thought the same thing.
Retrospectively, made me appreciate The Last Jedi even more, and I was already super high on that film. Like, I don't think we've got much hope, like, with the newly announced Boba Fett film, which, I mean, maybe could be a bit better given James Mangold's involvement, but my hopes aren't high. And the Obi-Wan, and now potentially more Solos. And I think there was even talk of a Lando movie, whether any of these will happen, given that the box office hasn't been that great. Who knows? But I don't know. Yeah. This is the first time that I've been genuinely worried that they're going to run it into the ground. If it's, like, this bad this early, like, this is the second of their Star Wars stories. Doesn't fucking bode well. I mean, we just get to rely on Rian Johnson again to save it with some actual creativity ideas.
Yeah, every few years he just, like, swoops into the franchise, and lifts it up, and then, like, leaves and slowly sinks again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we probably said on The Force Awakens, we definitely said it in person, we probably said it on the pod, that, you know, it's only a matter of time until Disney makes so many of these and start to, you know, run it into the ground. But it does feel too soon. Which is a shame. And I agree, it made me trust them less now, because I think up until this point they've done a reasonably good job. And so, you know, the brand or whatever of Star Wars in my mind is going down a little. And if that keeps going, you know, I'll just kind of disconnect myself from it, because I want to hold on to what I like about it. And I don't just want to keep seeing it and being angry all the time. So there's a certain point where you just stop watching. I think we're a while away from that, but I hope it doesn't continue down that path. I feel pretty confident that J.J. Abrams will deliver a good episode 9.
It'll be good.
I think, I don't think it would be hard to top what Rian Johnson did, but I think it'll be entertaining. It'll be fun. It'll probably have some nice emotional beats. It'll look good. It'll be, you know, it'll kind of reset things a little bit. That's kind of what he does as well, is just like bring them just like to an even playing field.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't know what the next thing will be after that. I mean, well, is it too early for Rian Johnson's film then? Probably. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea how far into development that is. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Probably not very far, I guess. No. So, I mean, after episode 9, I guess, and that's December 2019. So there's plenty of time for them to announce.
I guess presumably the next one must be Boba Fett then, right? Because that's the only one they've announced, like a director and a, like it's being written, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, we don't need Boba Fett and, I don't know. Is Darth Maul, like, what are they doing with him? I don't like that stuff. Get out. You're dead. Go away.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there's a nice negative note to end on.
Yeah, exactly.
Already is Star Wars fatigue and we're 2 films in. Doesn't bode well.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited for episode 9 and for Rian Johnson. So there's hope.
It's true. Bastions of hope in the darkness a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, apparently Lawrence Kasdan has been wanting to make this like for ages, like before Disney bought it, he would have meetings with George Lucas about it and stuff like that. So I wonder if he kind of pushed this through a bit because he's such a heavyweight in the franchise, and maybe that's why it's a bit shit as well. Like, it's kind of because
people weren't allowed to sort of question him or push back on his.
Yeah, story. I wonder if there was a bit of that going on.
Maybe it's fucking weird.
It's just so weird that he wanted to make this. Like, is something he wanted to make.
It's very strange. It seems like an odd thing to be like passionate about creating, especially if this is the result. You know, if. What, you really just wanted to tell everyone that his last name was Solo because he had no mates or had no family. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to spend like 60 years of your life building towards. Yeah. Like, fuck it, destroy one of your good characters that you wrote. Good on you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's sad. It's like, telling everyone you're really passionate about cooking and then inviting them all over for dinner and serving them 2-minute noodles. It's like... What? This is what it was all about?
Ugh, yeah, bizarre.
Listening to this episode of the Pre-Post Film Review. We'd love to hear what y'all thought of Solo, Star Wars Story, particularly if you liked it a little more than us. Hopefully we didn't come across... Well, we definitely did come across very negatively. there's no two ways about it. But that doesn't mean we don't want to hear, you know, other opinions. I'd be curious. Because it's cool when people enjoy movies. I'd like to hear why people did like this one. I think a lot of fans have. So, you know, make of that what you will. But you can email us at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com. And we always reply to those emails. So, yeah, send one through. That'd be great.
Cool. Yep. You can also find us on Facebook. And we are on Twitter at PrePostFR. We kind of post little news stories and updates on there, so come over and follow us. You can comment on our tweets and interact with us there as well. But the most important thing is to subscribe. Whatever platform you're using to listen to us right now, click the subscribe button. If you like the show, leave a review. That'd be nice. We always like getting those.
Yeah, that's right. You can also follow us on Letterboxd, either on the app or on the website. There's links in the show notes to our profiles, but it's a cool way to see what other movies we're watching and make your own little film diary and stuff like that. And we'd love it if you join us next episode. We're going to be talking about Jurassic Park 5, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's 5. That's weird. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of not branded that way, but yeah, technically. The new Jurassic World movie is what we're going to be talking about.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that should be a fun one, I think, for better or for worse. I think that'll be interesting.
Ian Malcolm's back. That's exciting.
Yeah.
No, but it'll be fun. Cool.
See you later.
See ya.
Henrik. Oh, Jesus, I'll never get this.
Henrik.
Yeah, E-H-R-E-N, Reich. Henrik.
Henrik? What? E-H, what? Fuck.
E-H-R-E-N.
Oh.
Reich. Henrik.
Henrik.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Henrik.